I welcome you this morning also, as Pastor Charles has also done. We are glad to worship you with you. So as you get comfortable in the comforts of your home, for the most of you, we continue to worship the Lord together. I think that we all long for the day when some kind of normalcy comes back to our lives. And I know we have some normalcy. I praise God for that. But I think we also long for the day when, as Charles said, our care center family can receive their family and friends. I'm sure at this point, parents are longing for school to be opened back up, and we know now that's not going to happen this year. We in the church are longing for the day when we can come back to worship corporately. But in the meantime, we do what we can, and we are glad that you have joined us online. We welcome you. As Charles has mentioned, several serious prayer requests, I also want to remind us there are many other names on the prayer list. Many who are battling cancer, others who have lost their loved ones, others who are recovering from surgery. And then we've got the care center residents that Charles mentioned that can't receive family. We've got people that are in assisted living and care centers and all kinds of things. It's very, very hard for them. We've got businesses that are still closed down right here in our communities. We've got people that are laid off. We've got parents that are struggling to help their children in this whole new virtual learning system. So, we all long, I'm sure, for some kind of normalcy again. But may I say, before I pray, may I say now, and Charles mentioned this early on in our stay-at-home order, in our peacetime emergency orders, where we couldn't gather together like this, may I remind us, the church, the building here is not the church. It's you and I and us, the few that are here, but you that are sitting at home watching, the church is people. And yes, we want to come together to worship the Lord on Sunday mornings. We want to come together for Awana and youth group and Bible studies and men's group and women's group and all those things. But may I remind us, brothers and sisters, the church is people outside the four walls. And may I remind us to use this time to strategically think of who are my neighbors. And when the stay-at-home order is off, how may I reach out to them? How may some 6, 8, 9, 10 of us come together and have a Bible study, have a discipleship group, have a mentoring, an accountability group together right where I live? Remember, brothers and sisters, the church is not the building. It is the people of God living for Jesus outside the walls of the church house. And so now is a good time for us to be strategically thinking where I live, who can I minister to? And even when the stay-at-home order is off, which we're hoping here in Minnesota is next weekend, how can I come together in small groups, 6, 8, 10 people, worshiping the Lord right where we're at? I think Charles mentioned this some time ago with the model from John Wesley hundreds of years ago. That is how the Methodism started. Small bands of people coming together to worship the Lord, be accountable, encourage one another, and pray for another. Friends, think strategically about that right now, because we don't know how long it's going to be till we can have large gatherings again. But when the stay-at-home order is off, hopefully small gatherings can come together. We can love our neighbors. We can have Bible studies, maybe in our homes, smaller groups, but reaching out to our neighbors. And so, please be thinking about that and praying How can I be the church where I live? With that, let's pray. Father, thank you again for this, your Lord's Day. This day that we have set aside to worship you. And I realize, Heavenly Father, that many are not able to worship you the way they want to. But I pray that through the TV screen, the computer screen, the smartphone screen, that people can join in and worship you collectively like we are here today. But more importantly than that, Heavenly Father, I pray for two things. One, revival would happen in your church. Even though we can't come together corporately, we can't come together in large groups and worship right now, I pray that revival would happen in your people, O God. Revival would happen to the point that we would love our neighbors as ourselves in brand new ways. I pray that this COVID-19 would help us to see outside of the proverbial box of the way we have been thinking for a long time. Help us to minister to and love our neighbors in new ways. Help us to love you, O God, first, and love our neighbors in turn. And I pray the other thing, Father, that while we can't worship corporately, help us to be thinking we are the hands and feet of Jesus in everyday living. And you can use us where we're at, from the different geographical locations of your people. You can use us where we're at. And so help us to think and plan now, O Lord, how we can come together in small groups of 6 or 8 or 10 to be accountable to one another, to love you intentionally, to learn from your word, to pray for each other, to encourage one another. Help us to be thinking about that now, Father, and blend in some of those unchurched neighbors into those groups and point them to the cross and to Christ. Use your church, O God, in this time to bring you glory. Revive your church, Father. Save the lost, I pray. And I do pray for those that are sick. Charles mentioned some that are very sick. Herb and Roy and Barney and others. But then there are those that are battling cancers, serious cancers, like Vicky and Kevin, Janet and Sierra and maybe Daryl and Conrad and April and Harold and Sandy and many others, Charisse and Kathy and Lynn and Marilyn and so many, Father, Dan, battling cancers. We lift them all up to you. We lift them all up to you, Father, and say, thy will be done. Minister healing and strength and peace to each and every one. And to our communities, O Lord, our community and our nation, Father, I pray for salvation to come. I know that you're at work because I have seen people come to you by faith in these last few weeks. I praise you, Heavenly Father, for those that have had their eyes awakened and opened to the Spirit of God, to put their faith in the Son of God, and to have a relationship finally with you, our Heavenly Father, you who are on the throne. I praise you, Father. You are at work. In spite of us not being able to come in together on Sunday mornings, or Bible studies, or Awana, or youth group, or a myriad of other things, you are at work, and I praise you, O God. Keep working, Father, and use us. Keep working on the hearts of the hard-hearted, the eyes that have been calloused, the ears that are stopped. Keep working on them, Father, and use us, your people, to reach people for Jesus, I pray, to the glory of God. I pray for those little bitty churches, Father. I heard about some yesterday in a meeting, struggling, can't even pay the light bill. Their folks are all laid off. They haven't got any income. And I pray, Father, again for those churches. Help those of us, Father, that are able to come alongside that are unable right now. I pray for those sitting in the care centers this morning, longing for a visitor that won't come for a while. Father, you visit them. May they experience your presence and your peace even now, even today, in a powerful way. May they experience the presence of the living God. For those in hospitals or at home suffering, hurting, in Herb's case, waiting for significant surgery. In Roy's case, longing for some kind of healing or conclusion, what's wrong? For those in hospice, Father, we pray, comfort each and every one. God, you've been so good to us. And I see COVID-19 as a wake-up call. And I thank you for wake-up calls. I thank you, the Bible says, you chasten whom you love. And sometimes we need a wake-up call to draw us back to you. And I pray this COVID-19 would be one more attempt, and we would see that as one more attempt from you, our Heavenly Father, in love, to chasten and bring us back to you. Do a work, O God. Do a work in and through this, I pray. It's nothing short of supernatural, divine hand of God work. Thank you for this day we can come together to worship you. The way that we have, sitting in our homes, perhaps in our car, wherever we're at. Thank you for the technology and the freedoms we can still do this much. Be glorified in your people and beyond today, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know what I was thinking about, friends, especially while our praise team was up here? I was thinking if we had long wires, and Tim and Tim are here, they could figure this out. If we had long wires reaching out the side doors with massively large speakers, maybe 15-foot speakers, blaring into the town, the people would still get the good news. You guys can come up with that maybe. Send out these beautiful songs. Of course, the closest neighbors may not appreciate the best, but at the other end of town, if they could hear, that would be so awesome. They do it at places in big concerts. They broadcast across 80-acre fields. I'm thinking we should do it. Big speakers blaring across town. Anyway, I have maybe too much time to think. All right, let's turn to our Bibles again, friends. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 9. Today we are in Jeremiah chapter 8 last week. And let me say while you're turning there, Charles mentioned already, but I want to say too, I am so appreciative. I am so thankful. Lots and lots of you have sent in tithe and offering checks, dropped them off, use the Vanco online system. I just want to say thank you to every one of you. God bless you all for that. Because I was in a board meeting yesterday for several hours, Zoom, of course, on the conference wide, and there are little churches struggling. They don't have any income right now. They can hardly pay the insurance and the light bill. And I just want to say thank you. We have missionaries we're still supporting and children literally around the globe that we're supporting and organizations and food shelves. And I just want to say thank you. Not to mention the tangible things here like lights and heat and water and those kind of things and the paid staff here. Thank you. Thank you very much for continuing to send in your contributions and your tithes. May God bless you for that. Last week I started this mini-series from Jeremiah 8 in an attempt to enlighten us and maybe show us from Scripture that sometimes things in life are not always as they seem. You say, Jim, what do you mean? Remember the verse last week, Jeremiah 8:11. when the prophets of Israel were saying, peace, peace, and God said to Israel, there is no peace. So one of the reasons I'm bringing this series to us is to remind us perhaps some things in life are not always as they seem. Perhaps in America, what I'm suggesting, brothers and sisters, it's not as good as we think, spiritually speaking. And I'm trying to bring us to Scripture to look at the similarities between Jeremiah's time and when God was trying to speak to the children of Israel and to this time today. I'm also trying to make us or help us understand and be aware that sometimes we need a wake-up call. The church, the people of God in Jeremiah needed a wake-up call. And as you read through Jeremiah, you can see it's a sad story because right after Jeremiah is Lamentations, and there's a reason for Lamentations because they didn't wake up. But there's a time when God will say, I'm going to try again, people of God, to wake you up and draw you back to me. Remember verse 20 from chapter 8 last week when he said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. God will give us those wake-up calls. Come back to me or else. And so I also stated last week that I don't know why we have this COVID-19 coronavirus thing happening right now, but God does. And according to many places in Scripture, God uses difficulty and disasters to bring people to Himself. And I want to look at this, and I pray for the families that have lost their loved ones, and I pray for the families, even in our communities, that have been exposed to it. But I want to think and even suggest that perhaps God is using this occasion to bring people to Himself. So I'm going to continue this discussion for a bit in Jeremiah to show us some more similarities between the people of that time and the people of our time. And maybe, friends, maybe one of my goals is to really enlighten us one more time to the seriousness of just going about life on our own, doing our own thing, whether that's intentionally or unintentionally. I'm going to show us again the seriousness of doing our own thing outside of following Jesus. Because in the end, friends, there will be consequences when we do our own thing. And I know sometimes life can seem pretty good at times, even when we're on the broad road. But friends, I'm telling you, according to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the broad road leads to destruction. And many, Jesus said, are on the broad road. And so may we use these chapters in Jeremiah as an enlightening, as a wake-up to whomever, to us or to those that maybe we need to pass on to an enlightening to God's voice. And I will say it to begin with, as I did last week, and I will say it to at the end. Are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? Jeremiah chapter 9. My Bible calls this disobedience brings God's judgment. These are the words of Jeremiah. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You know, many people call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. And when you read Jeremiah and you read Lamentations, you see, I believe Jeremiah was the author of Lamentations too, you see how he wept for his people. He wept for their condition, their sin-filled condition. And friends, may I suggest to us the sins of our day in and out of the church, in and out of America, the sin and the waywardness and the drifting away, and in some cases the running away from Almighty God, should bring us to weep also. Oh, that I had in the wilderness, he goes on, a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. You see what he's saying? You see his longing, his broken heart. I can't even bear to be around him anymore. And when they recognize too, in Jeremiah's book and some in Isaiah, some in Ezekiel, some of these books, when we use that word adulterer, it has a couple of meanings. One, obviously, is sexual immorality, but he connects that a lot to spiritual apostasy, idolatry. We have forsaken God for some other idol, and he calls that adultery on a regular basis. And so he is weeping here. He is saying, I wish I had a place in the wilderness to go from them, because they have all become adulterers, idolaters. They are just a bunch of treacherous men. Remember, friends, I said this last week, 40 years Jeremiah called upon God and give that message to the people of Israel. 40 years. Repent and turn back to God, or else. There had to have been discouragement. There had to have been tears. I know he was thrown in prison. I know he was thrown in the pit. I know he went hungry. I know he sunk in the mud, all because of what he was trying to say for God. I know there was consequences. But for 40 years, he tried to get them to turn back to God. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. Boy, oh boy. When I ask about similarities, I think, are there a few there? Lies. Why is it that we're so comfortable lying? Whether it's from the politician or the preacher. Why is it we're so comfortable with lying? You remember in I think it's in Proverbs chapter 6, one of the seven things that God hates is a lying tongue. He hates it. He wants the truth from his people. And Jeremiah says here, they have bent their, and like their bow is bent and curved, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. And he's going to say this again in just another verse, but let me finish three first. For they proceed from evil to evil. Can you envision that? They just go from one sin to the next. And they do not know me. The tragedy of it all. Why do we have lying as our native tongue? Because we have forsaken God. That's the name of this series. Because we have forsaken God. Why is lying become our native tongue, kind of like Jesus said about the enemy of our souls? Why do we do our tongue speak lies? He likens that to the bending of the bow. They have bent their tongues for lies. Why? Because he said, they do not know me. That's why. Verse 5, everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Do you see what he's saying, friends? These are God's people. And they're working hard at finding new ways to sin. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. I don't have time to elaborate on deceit, friends. I've spent all spring talking about false teachers, ravenous wolves, and other gospel. I don't have time to elaborate on that any this morning. But whether it is from the politician or the preacher, deceit seems to abound. Jeremiah said, "Your dwelling place is in the middle of deceit." Through deceit, they refuse to know the living God. Verse 13, I need to move along. And the Lord said, "Because you have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice," which would have been Jeremiah's voice, who was speaking on behalf of God and other godly prophets, "nor walked according to my laws or my voice, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own heart." There it is again. "And they did what was right in their own eyes. Because you haven't listened to my voice, because you haven't subscribed to my word, but you did what you wanted to do." I'm asking us, friends, in this series, do we see some similarities? "But they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the Baals which their fathers taught them. Therefore, because they have done that," he said, "thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them," this people, "with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them." There will be consequences for ignoring the word of God. You say, "Jim, I don't ignore God. I believe in God." Have you decided to follow Jesus to the point of denying self, taking up our cross daily, and genuinely, passionately following Him no matter what? Verse 17, I'm moving on. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women." That means those professional mourners and wailers. They had them. "Consider and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for skillful wailing women, that they may come." Now you might say, why would he say that? Jeremiah is saying the word of God to the people, call for these professional mourners. Call for them and tell them to mourn and wail. Why? Because judgment and death are coming to this people. Look at what he said in verse 20. "Yet hear the word of the Lord, O women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor a lamentation. For death has come through our windows, has entered our palaces to kill off our children, no longer to be outside, and the young man no longer on the streets." Death is coming to the people of God. Call for the wailing women. Get them to cry out. Get them to wail. Get them to mourn. Why? Because death has come through the windows. When I read that a while back, I thought, that's kind of like COVID-19. Or some other plague. Death is actually coming to people around the world, friends, today, because of starvation. We've heard from our brother Salik in Pakistan. People can't work, they don't eat. I have heard from our brother Bishop Mugaya, who stood right here a year ago. The people in Kenya, they don't work, they don't eat, not to mention the famines and the locusts and the radical Muslims around there that are killing them off. Death has come to the people of God all over the globe. And in this case, death was coming because of disobedience. Death has come through the windows. Call for the mourning women. Call for the wailing women. This is a wake-up call. Because death and judgment is coming. Now let me wrap it all up here in verses 23 and 4. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. He's not saying there isn't wise folks. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. He's not saying there's not mighty men. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. He's not saying there isn't folks with wisdom, there isn't folks with might, there isn't folks with riches. But he is saying to all of those, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, the living God. Stop boasting about your wisdom. Stop putting your faith in your strength. Stop putting your faith in your riches and start giving God glory for everything that he has done. We seem to find ways to give everything else credit and everything else due. And God says through Jeremiah here, let not the wise man glory any longer in his wisdom, or the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories at all glory in me, that he understands and knows me, the living God. That should be what we glory in every day, brothers and sisters. We should be giving God glory for our abilities, for our wisdom, for our might, for our riches. It should be given God the glory for all of it. And they weren't. And we haven't either. Too often times, we haven't either. To end out that verse 24, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. God said that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness. Now look at the contrast here. I am the Lord, and I love you, and I will exercise all kinds of loving kindness on you. But if you reject all of it, look at what the next word says. Judgment. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, says the living God. I am the Lord. Understand my loving kindness. Understand my judgment. Understand the righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Friends, listen to me now. I'll bring it all to close. Maybe for too long, we have been putting our faith in the wrong things. Maybe for too long, we've been putting our faith in our wisdom. And praise God, we got smart folks in America. I praise God for that. Smart folks of every kind. Engineers and doctors and lawyers and teachers and I'm talking to parents all over the time. They are so thankful for teachers now that they're having to be doing their own teaching. I'm so thankful for smart people. But maybe friends, for too long we have been putting our faith in wisdom and rather than the one who gives the wisdom. And maybe for too long we have put our trust in what we can do. Look what I can do. Look at my might. Look at our might. And I am so thankful for our military people. Don't get me wrong, any way, shape, or form. When you look at the Old Testament, you look at David, you look at Solomon, there was all kinds of military people. But when they were right with God, God did the fighting for them. And when we put our faith in our might and we forget the one who has given us the might, God said, don't glory in that, but glory in me, God said. Maybe for too long we have put our trust and faith in our riches. Well, we argue, we just throw a little more money at something and that should fix it. A little more money here, a little more money there, even though we don't have the money. And God said, let not the rich man glory in his riches anymore, but let us glory in him who has given us the riches. Friends, I fear the similarities are great. We have been guilty of putting our hopes in things that really cannot provide hope when God said, let us glory in him. That's what he asked us to do. Let us glory in this, that he understands and knows me, saith the Lord. And I'm just suggesting, friends, maybe for too long, even in the church houses of America, we have been guilty of putting our faith in those things, which is idolatry, instead of the one who gives us those things. This is what the people of that day were doing. And if the idols that they were actually bowing down to and burning incense to, you can read all about that in Jeremiah, wasn't bad enough, then they were guilty of glorying in their own wisdom, their own riches, and their own might, in hopes that they were bright enough to figure out their own spiritual problems. You see the similarities here? We think we're bright enough to figure out our own problems and excluding God, or in hopes that our own might could work our way through it. We could work harder. We could fight harder. We could work our way through it. Or in hopes that our own riches could buy our way through it. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it didn't work for them. It's not going to work for us. It will not work without God. Praise team, go ahead. We're going to sing a couple songs to close. Come on up here. I'll say this, then I'll get out of the way. I've been reading a lot lately. I read articles on the pandemic, I read articles on the church, what we're going to do, how we're going to reopen. I read articles about the future, and I read a lot of stuff. I read one with very interesting from the Christian Post again this last week. It was called this, Michael Yosef. Some of you have heard of Michael, pastor in America, but he come from Egypt. Y-O-U-S-S-E-F. Michael Yosef warns entertainment-driven church making people feel good all the way to hell. I read that article, and you might be thinking, what has that got to do with anything? Listen to me, friends. Prophets, priests, and kings alike were not pointing people to God in Jeremiah's day. And if prophets, priests, kings, and pastors are not people pointing to the, if we're not pointing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today, there is a problem. The people of Jeremiah's day had gotten complacent with God at arm's length. In other words, a genie in a bottle. I'll call on him if I need him. And we have done the same thing. We have gotten complacent without God in our blessings, in our riches, in our wisdom, in our might. We have gotten complacent without the living God. That's why Jeremiah told him what he told him. God was trying to call them back to repentance, to surrender to him, the living God. Jesus did the same thing when he said, I'm asking you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Friends, denying self doesn't mean keep pleasing self with all of our own wisdom, riches, and might. It means giving God the glory, being willing to set it all aside to follow Jesus. I'm simply asking us Are we listening? Are we listening? Two questions to close real quickly. As soon as this pandemic is over, are we going to go right back to the mud wallow that we came from? The Bible talks about that. The hog returning to the wallow. A fool in his sin is folly. Is that what's going to happen with us? This gets over, I'm just going back to everything the way it was? Or are we going to get dependent on the living God and let His Spirit move us in a new direction? And the other question is, have I really repented of all of it and surrendered to Jesus Christ the Lord? Praise team is going to lead us in two songs, and Charles will close us in prayer. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.
As our time has come to a close, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, You are worthy of glory, honor, and praise, and we thank You. Thank You for this message from Pastor Jim, from the prophet Jeremiah. That verse 24, to know You, that is that Hebrew verb, to know, is can be also interpreted with the word discover. To discover means you're searching, looking with passion, and it reminds me of the woman in the New Testament who lost her coin. She tore that house apart because every waking minute was diligently searching for that item of value. That should be us. We should be using this time. Help us, Holy Spirit, to use this time of being sequestered to our homes to truly discover You as our Heavenly Father. The distractions of games and sports and things on TV, it's just, maybe it's a time to just realize that we really don't need that, do we? Our time should be spent seeking after You, things that are of holiness and righteousness, things that can discover how powerful You are through means of prayer, service, and solitude. So, Father, we need to discover You. That will not happen if our Bibles remain closed, if our mouths do not speak words of praise and prayer for You and for others. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be diligent in our discovery of our Heavenly Father, of our calling, of our ministry, to be mindful of how to use this downtime and this time that we have on our hands to be more useful towards the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. Challenge us, Holy Spirit, to be more useful of the time that has been given to us to discover the amazing love of our Heavenly Father so that we can find ways to share that with others. Help us, Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.